The following talk, entitled As We See It, So It Is For Us, was presented on the 25th of February 2024 by Reverend Rhonda Murray.
Thank you, Julian. And Karen Drucker has actually pretty much done my talk, so I think we can all go to the coffee place where it's air conditioned. So Dale Carnegie said, and you've probably heard this quote before, two men looked out from prison bars. One saw the mud, the other saw stars. Eric Butterworth said, our job is not to set things right, but to see them right. So I got thinking about that recently when I was walking across the little bridge, little Japanese-style bridge over Humpybong Creek at Redcliffe. And I don't know how many of you have ever seen the fountain in Humpybong Creek. We have the fountain? We don't have the fountain. That's okay. I sent Julian a photo of it hoping that we could have the fountain, but never mind. Just you'll have to use your imagination that when you stand on the little bridge and you look at the fountain and the sun in the morning, early morning, shines through the water and it's all just so glittery and silvery. That's where I wore my glittery, silvery blouse and earrings today. And it's funny because when I lived in, down towards Margate, I did sometimes walk along that creek, but I was never very impressed with it. But now that it's just down the hill from where I live and I can actually see it from my office, I've discovered it's the most amazing, gorgeous place to walk, full of birds. I've counted over 20 species of birds along it, and lovely trees, and some of them flower, and it's just a lovely, quiet, peaceful place to walk. But for me, the highlight is always the fountain. And the fountain runs from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. So if the fountain goes off, I know that's a sign that I put my book away and go to sleep. However, I have a walking friend, and whenever we walk past the fountain, she always comments not on the beautiful sparkly water, but on the fact that the pillars, the cement or iron they might be, pillars that the fountain's on, are grey and very uninteresting. And she's always saying, they need painting. She's so busy looking at the stand and the fact that it's not painted that she misses the beautiful water. And I thought to myself, we go through life like that. We have that choice. We can look at the beauty or we can look at the ugliness. So how we see the world around us determines how the world is for us. We can choose to see beauty or we can choose to focus on ugliness, and that will determine what we believe and how we feel. We will believe we live in a world of beauty or otherwise. We can focus on the fault we see in those around us, or we can see beyond that to the Christ within them. We can see our body as aging, focusing on what we can no longer do, or we can choose to be thankful for what we are still able to do and explore new ways of using what does still work. And following through on that thought, I've been looking for some new activities for this year, but sort of putting it off a little bit because of the heat. But I've booked in next week to go to a beginner's class of pickleball. Has anybody ever heard of pickleball? Two people have in the room. It's like tennis for over 60s, but it's played by people of all ages. It's a cross between tennis and table tennis with a bit of volleyball thrown in and a bit of, what's the other one? No, not netball. The one where you hit the little thing with all the feathers. Badminton, that's it, yeah. So it's played with a giant table tennis bat, not a tennis racket. So it's solid, and a ball so big that's sort of, I don't know what it's made of. It looks plastic, but it obviously isn't because it's very hard and it has holes in it. And so it's, you know, quite a whack when it, well, particularly when I watch the men playing, it's like whack. And I thought, well, I'm not playing with them, that's for sure. But anyway, I'm at least going to give it a go. It's played on a tennis court, but they paint out the middle part of the tennis court near the net because you're not allowed to go on that. And you serve underarm, which is why it's good for over 60s, you see, because you don't, you know, people have to drop out from the tennis because of the difficulty of the serve. So ask me next time you see me how the pickleball went. When challenges arise, it's so easy to slip into despair and feel overwhelmed. And sometimes the word that comes up is lonely. It's so important to know we can choose between giving power to the outer circumstance or taking time to see it another way. The challenge is to respond, not react. Or, as Eric Butterworth put it, things may happen around you and things may happen to you, but the only things that matter are the things that happen in you. Recent research has shown that happiness is significantly associated with lower mortality. So, if you want to live longer, practice happiness. I have a good example of that on my floor of the units where I live with my friend Lynn, who's well into her 80s, I think. I wouldn't ask. And has been diagnosed with so many things, I've lost track. But she has Parkinson's. She's been diagnosed with a brain tumor, which I don't believe she has because she's as sharp as a. She's very sharp. She's very on the ball. And so the medical people, you know, wanted to go in and have all these tests and all these treatments and what have you. And she's been through a lot of that. She's a cancer survivor and she's been through a lot of that stuff. And she just decided enough's enough. And the unit that she's living in, she loves to bits. She's got a nice outlook. She actually looks down to Humpybong Creek from her unit and had a little bit of Moreton Bay. And she just wants to be left alone to live however many days she's got. Where she's happy, where her friends are around her. We all love it a bit. Do you know why we love it a bit? She's happy. You come out of her room feeling happier than when you went in. And she never complains. If I ask, you know, how she is physically, she'll tell me, just matter of fact, but then move on to another subject. So when all this first came up and she made that decision, she said to me, I've been thinking about the things that I haven't done that I wanted to do, that I still want to do. And you know, they were very simple things. She'd never eaten sushi. Well, that was easily fixed. She'd never played Scrabble. She'd always wanted to learn to play Scrabble. So out came the old Scrabble board. And she picked it up so quickly, it wasn't funny. I mean, even to the making words out of words and adding on and all that sort of stuff that you do in Scrabble, she was just so good. And so then we moved on to Quiddler. Anyone played Quiddler? It's like Scrabble without the board a bit. And so she took to that like a duck to water too. Loves Quiddler. And she also loves crosswords, but she's not able to manage them on her own anymore. So we do crosswords together. And she still comes up with lots of answers. I mean, here's a lady with, well, we've got other examples in our building, I'm afraid, you know, of people who are just living every day in misery, talking about their ailments and nothing else. And yet here she is, bright as a button, face lights up when one of her friends walks into the room, you know, into her unit. She keeps the door open so we can come anytime. If she wants to rest, she shuts the door, we know, leave her, you know. But she's such an example of what may happen around you or to you. Doesn't matter as much as what happens in you. So what are some of the blocks that we allow sometimes? I don't know. I do sometimes. I might be preaching to the choir boys here. It may be that you don't have any days when you're not totally feeling happy. But you might recognize some of these blocks. The first one is regret. No better way to make yourself feel miserable than looking back on decisions you wish you'd made differently. Things where you just did the wrong thing and caused maybe caused problems for other people. But you know what? We did the best we could do back there in that moment of time. If we could have done better, we would have. We didn't deliberately set out to cause problems. So we have to forgive ourselves for being who we were back then. And another one is, another block that is, how happy we'd be if our family and friends would only do what we want them to do. That happen for anybody? I don't think so, not in unity. Or keeping the happiness in the future. I'll be happy when. Let's be happy today with how things are today. All right, so that's all been a bit heavy, all of that, for someone who's talking about being happy and seeing things right. So let's have some light bulb jokes. Christian light bulb jokes. How many light bulbs does it take a charismatic to change the bulb? One, because their hands are already up in the air. And the Pentecostals, it takes 10, one to change the bulb and nine to pray against the spirit of darkness. And the Presbyterians, none. The lights will go on and off as predestined. How about the Catholics? How many Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? None, they only use candles. And the Baptists, at least 15, one to change the light bulb and three committees to approve the change. And the Anglicans, three, one to call the electrician, one to mix the drinks, and one to talk about how much better the old one was. The Mormons, five. One man to change the bulb and four wives to tell him how to do it. The Uniting Church, six. And this may sound a little harsh, but believe you me, I've been to anyway. One woman to replace the bulb while five men review church lighting policy. Lutherans. None. Lutherans don't believe in change. Amish. What's a light bulb? How about unity? How many unity people does it take to change a light bulb? It only takes one because we're all part of the one power, one presence, one spirit. Hey, so any one of us can do it for all of us. Oh, well, couldn't resist throwing them in for some laughs. So let's go to a more serious topic of Lent. Lent, which we're currently in at the moment, and my bakery is doing the gourmet buns that they only do for Lent. I tell them every year to do them all year round, even though they're dear, they're so good. So that's when I know it's Lent. Lent, let's see Lent as an opportunity to choose being happy. Lent represents the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness, and for many means 40 days of fasting in some form or other. In Unity, we suggest the best thing to fast from for 40 days and all the time is negative thinking, speaking, or actions. Letting go whatever form of belief is holding us back from our good and focusing on the highest good for ourselves and for those around us. Giving up negativity forever is a big ask, but if we could give it up for 40 days, we could change our habitual way of thinking. If 40 days seems daunting, perhaps decide to give it up for one day. Then the next day, focus on that day. By the time we get to 40 days of checking our thoughts and words, we will find being positive comes naturally. I think I'm really telling this to people who've already done this process, have already given up the negativity. So, do you always see things right? Are you always happy? Do you always see the good in everyone? Perhaps Margaret, but Margaret's not here today. My challenge in seeing that, oh no, I wasn't going to put that bit in. I decided I shouldn't talk about politicians and pedophile priests. Giving up, oh yeah, I've done that bit. So, maybe it's time we got our eyes checked. To make sure we can see clearly all the good, the beauty, the kindness, the happiness that is there for us to see if we look for it. We see what we expect to see. So let's lift our expectations and let's practice gratitude. And coming back to my friend Lynn, that's something I always notice. She's grateful for every little thing. She often expresses how grateful she is for her lovely unit and her view and the breeze coming in the door and, having friends around. She talks gratitude like it's a second language. As some of you are aware, my guru, as far as unity is concerned, is Eric Butterworth. And this particular book is In the Flow of Life. And here's what he says about that. The word I, EYE, comes from a Sanskrit root word which means fountain. This is beautifully significant for when your mind is remolded from within. You are synchronized with the omnipresent flow of God, which streams out in the very act of seeing. You see from the consciousness of the divine. Thus, you actually project this consciousness towards anything your eye beholds. And he quotes Father Angelus, that thou seest man become two, thou must. God, if thou seest God, dust, if thou seest dust. Eric Butterworth again, what you see you become because of the outforming process of mind. And of course, that's something we're all aware of in unity, that what we focus on, what we focus our thoughts, our feelings, our words, our actions on is what manifests in our life and therefore what we become. So it's 5 weeks till Easter. Can we refrain from any form of negativity today for the next week, for 5 weeks? Can we choose to see the good in everything and everybody around us? Can we treat ourselves as expressions of the Christ within that? Can we treat ourselves as expressions of the Christ within deserve to be treated? I say we can. Think of Bob the Builder. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Can we do it? Yes, we can. So I invite you to ask yourself these questions in a time meditation. Just check out how much of our consciousness is predicated on on the good. So let's just give our bodies permission to relax. Check out the body temple for any areas of stress. Our mental, emotional stress expresses in our body as tightness in the shoulders, the neck, maybe the whole spine. Maybe as you breathe, just allow the whole spine to expand. Just move the vertebrae one from the other. And that allows us to breathe more deeply. Breathing in at the diaphragm level. Feeling the diaphragm expand. And as we breathe out, just let's breathe out anything that is not totally positive in our lives. And let's just check with our own inner Lord. Is there anything that I am being negative about in my life? Any belief that I need to release, to let go of? Can I choose to see the good in everything and everybody? Can I treat myself as an expression of the Christ who deserves to be treated? Can I choose differently in some area of my life? And as situations arise, make your decision and say inwardly, yes, I can. And if it's not that simple, think of the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I know I can. I know I can. I knew I could. I knew I could. Loving spirit, we give grateful thanks for all the good things in our lives, for where we live, for the beauty of nature, for the people around us. We give thanks for the awareness of our ability to heal so that whatever physical challenge we may have, we can know that healing is already there, already happening. And we see ourselves whole and well. We know this for those on our prayer list. As we send them love and we see them whole and well and active and happy. We would send these thoughts of healing to the people of Afghanistan and the people of Israel and all of the areas where people are suffering. But we know there is one power and one presence, and it is present there as here, present in all of those who are challenged at this time. Loving spirit, for the awareness that you are with all our loved ones, with our friends, that your guidance is within them, whether they know it or not. And we give thanks that this Lent, we remind ourselves to give up anything that is for less than our highest good. And I invite you to sit on in the silence for the following song. To just help us know the good that is ours and to be thankful.
sleep.